Yeah, well, no, not yet. Yeah, well, maybe I'll do a little bit. Avodah Zarah. Gemara Avodah Zarah, Dav Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. One, it's not good to start off a share with the word Avodah Zarah, is it? It's probably not what you want to start it off with. One time, there was a Tano by the name of Elazar ben Dordia. Elazar ben Dordia heard. He was very into, unfortunately, these women. He was into these women. So he heard that there was a Zona that lived among the islands who took a ton of money as her wages. Her wages was a ton of money. And he had to cross many lands and many rivers, the Gemara says, in order to get there. And he ended up getting there. When the act was beginning, such a strange Gemara, she passed gas. She passed gas. And she said a line. She said, just like the gas will never return, so too a Lazar will never be accepted with tshuva for the rest of his life. He'll never be accepted back into Shemayim. That's what she said. So that hit a chord. He stopped right there, stopped everything, and went straight to two different mountains. Went into a valley between two different mountains. Among those two different mountains, he asked the mountains to daven for him. All mountains and hills daven for me, he said. But the mountains said back to him, how can we? We don't even daven for ourselves. So they wouldn't do it. So then he went to the Shemayim Varets. And he said, Shemayim and Aretz daven for me. And they said, how can we? We don't even daven for ourselves. So they wouldn't do it. Then they went to the sun and the moon. He went to the sun and the moon. He said, sun and the moon, daven for me. And the sun and the moon said, how can we? We don't even daven for ourselves. So they wouldn't do it. So he went to the stars and the constellations. He said, daven for me. They said, we can't. We don't even daven for ourselves. They wouldn't do it. So he said, Eina dover tolui ela bi. It's up to me to be able to do this. I am the one who has to do tshuva. And I can't ask other people to help me out or do anything else for it. So he put his head in between his knees. And he cried and he cried and he cried until he passed away. And he passed away right at that moment. At that moment, a bas kol came out from Shemayim. It says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya mizumin l'chayi olam haba. Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya deserves, he is ready to go straight in the world to come. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, cried when he heard that, and he said, Yesh kono olamo b'kamashanim. There's some people who only get their world, they only get olam haba, by taking many, many years and working on what they're doing. The Yesh kono olamo b'sha achas. And there are certain people who are able to get everything they need in olam haba with 1 hour. That's what happened to Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. He got everything he needed in 1 hour. And this is what Rebbe said. And it's not enough that Bali Tshuva are accepted, but a bas kol from Shemayim calls them a Rebbe. He's not Elazar ben Dordaya, this person who is doing tremendously bad things. He's known as Rebbe Eliezer ben Dordaya.
What was he before that?
What was he before that? That's a good question. Doesn't really say anything. Doesn't say what he was. But Shekornos a Rebbe, meaning Rebbe Yudanasi knew he wasn't a Rebbe before, and he was Stama guy, and then all of a sudden, because he had done this act, he all of a sudden became a Rebbe. Now he was known as Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya. Now he's known as that. So if you've done Daf Yomi, you've seen that story, if that doesn't hit you at all, well, what in the world's going on here? So first, the Ben Ishai explains, what was she saying? So he says the following. He says, every woman makes sure that that doesn't happen to them, that they don't pass gas. That's not going to happen. It's such a strange thing to happen, to have that happen to you. She knew that this was not something normal. It was something that was a gezeira mina shamayim. But she thought that it was there was something behind this, but it's there from the satan. She thought the remez was that Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya, who was Elazar ben Dordaya at the time, would hear that line, would hear that he would never be able to do tshuva, he'd give up hope from ever doing tshuva, continue to be bad, and would never go back to the side of good. That's what he assumed, but in fact, it had the opposite effect. Obviously, it did the exact opposite effect of what she had wanted. She thought she was going to get him forever. Either way, how in the world do we call him a Rebbe? How do you call such a person a Rebbe? He didn't teach anybody any Torah. He didn't do anything. He died right afterward, aside from that. Well, she was able to figure out, she knew that there was a reason for this. She thought that that was that. And it was part of, like, trying to entice him to do more, for him to do even more tumah, to do even more things. But even so, how do you become a Rebbe? You're a Rebbe by teaching people. Who did he teach? He didn't teach anyone. He went out, he tried to get other people to do tshuva for him. They didn't. So he tried to do tshuva himself. And at that point, he was able to kill himself. He died while crying and doing tshuva. So he never taught anybody. So how is this person considered a Rebbe? That's number one. Number two, how is he Zochet Olam Haba? In order to be Zochet Olam Haba, you have to have schuyos, you have to have mitzvos. But Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya had nothing. He had absolutely nothing. He may have had a kapara for all the sins that he did in this world. He had a kapara by dying while he was doing tshuva. But to be able to deserve Olam Haba, to be able to bring yourself yourself up to Olam Haba? How do you bring yourself to Olam Haba without any mitzvos? What do you do? What did he do that deserved, that he deserved to be called a Rebbe and for him to have mitzvos? Nefesh HaChaim. Not very often am I going to quote Reb Chaim Volozhin in a shir like this. Very, very few times. The Nefesh HaChaim learns from this Gemara, listen to this, that tshuva has to be with mesiris nefesh. The same way that we're willing to kill ourselves for the mitzvos or for learning Torah, you have to do tshuva with mesiris nefesh. And he learns it out from this pasuk, Perek Lamed, pasuk Beis. He says, "V'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha." You have to do tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. "V'shamat v'kol HaKadosh Erni v'salvach HaYom." And you have to listen to His voice like everything I command you today. "Atu v'necha, you and your children, b'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha." What does b'chol nafshecha mean? With all your soul. That even even if it kills you, you have to be able to do tshuva. Even if it kills you, even if you're almost destroyed from it, you have a chiyuv to be able to do tshuva. You have a chiyuv to mamish kill yourself to be able to do tshuva. And if one does it with pure mesiris nefesh, then says the Nefesh HaChaim, it turns all of your averos into mitzvos. Every avera that you've ever done will then become a zchus, and no longer do you have any averos. You now have all zchuyos. Every bad thing that you've done, if you do tshuva to the point of death, you bring yourself, you're willing to do it to the point of death, turns all your mitzvos and all your averos into zchuyos, and it became something. So Rav Shor adds on, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya, that's where he became a Rabbi. He taught us an unbelievable lesson for all future generations, how to do tshuva with all of your soul, showing how far a person should go to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and showing you the reward for doing such a thing. What happens when you do such a thing? And when someone teaches such a lesson to the rest of Klal Yisrael, what happens to a Rebbe who has Talmidim who end up being doing something better because of what he said? The Talmidim's chus counts for the Rebbe, which means the Rebbe Elazar ben Dodaya teaching people how to do tshuva counted his chus in his name, which meant that from then on he could be known as a Rebbe. And he had a schus in Olam Haba, not only from the averos turned into mitzvos, but from all the schuyos of all the people from that generation on who learned from Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya, who learned how to do tshuva in its proper way, in its proper form, and decided they were going to do it from all of his talmidim that were there. We say, Gedola tshuva shmagazad kisya kavod. Tshuva is unbelievably great. It reaches up to the kisya kavod. Says in Itut HaShemshin, it's not just stam. Tshuva, Tuf Shin Vav Beis Hey, is a gematria of 713. See, this is how you do this gematria. This is an unbelievable gematria. Says the Nitzut HaShemshin, Kisei HaKavod, if you word it like this, Chof, Chof Samech, Chof Samech Aleph, Chof Samech Aleph Hey, Chof Samech Aleph Hey Chof, Chof Samech Aleph Hey Chof Vav Beis, Chof Samech Aleph Hey Chof Beis Vav, and then, I think you can get the last one, all the way, Kisei HaKavod, if you add all the letters all together, is exactly 713. Because Gedola Tshuva, Shemagas at Kisei HaKavod. But Tshuva is not just something that you can just say like, alright, I'm going to do Tshuva now. I'm done. I'm just going to do Tshuva once and then I'm going to be done. That's not the way Tshuva works. Tshuva doesn't work. It's just like, I'm going to do this and it's all done and everything's fine. I'm going to just get to Yom Kippur. Just do Tshuva. Everything will be fine. I won't have to worry about anything. That's not the way it works. You have to start off and start a little bit and say, you know what? I feel bad about what I've done. A little bit of Chorata. A little bit of that Vidui. Then build yourself up. I feel even worse about that. And then build yourself further and further and further. That means start with the Chaf. Then go to the Chaf Samach. Then go to the Chaf Samach Aleph. Build yourself up to you until you get to the Kisei HaKavod. If you do that, then you have accomplished Tshuva. Then you'll be able to get to the point of where Tshuva is. And perhaps that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya was doing. He's going up to all the different things in the world. He went up to the mountains. And he said to the mountains, please help me. And they wouldn't do it. It doesn't mean that he literally went to the mountains and asked the mountains to help him out. It means he started off on a level that was the mountain level of tshuva. And it didn't work. He couldn't get there. He wasn't there yet. He didn't feel like he had done tshuva yet. So he went up to the next level. The next level was the level of Eretz V'Shamayim. Then he went up to the level of the sun and the moon. Then he went up to the stars and the constellations. He went up from one level to the next level, to the next level, to the next level, building himself up, bringing as far as he possibly could until he reached the Kisei HaKavod. Because the next level after the constellations, beyond our universe, is supposed to be that Kisei HaKavod, the Shemayim that's out there. The pure, pure Shemayim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there.
How do they know the story?
It's all from Ruach HaKodesh. That's what Rebbe was saying. And Rebbe was getting it and gave it over to us. Aside from that, it could be that's the reason why Rebbe Elazar ben Dodaya is the Gematria of 797, which is Tshuva plus Cusay. Now, it is off by 3. But when I realized that and I saw that I was off by 3, I wasn't going to make anything up and be like, oh, and there's a gimbal there somewhere. I was just like, I'm just going to tell you that. It's off by 3, 797 to 794. There's got to be something to that. But the two connections, that's too big of a, it's too big of a number to be able to say that there's something different. Okay, so we're told, Lo Bashamayimi, Torah is not in the heavens, right? Rashi says, if it was in the heavens, if it was in Shemayim, the Torah was up there in Shemayim, you would need to go after it and you'd have to learn it up there. You have to go up wherever it is, and you have to go learn it up there. How's that possible? Somebody asked for Klein Kanievsky. If it wasn't Shemayim, how do we get there? How would I ever know how to get there? What are you supposed to do? Klein Kanievsky, classic. He's like, we got to the moon, right? Klein Kanievsky, we got to the moon. If we got to the moon, then we just have to get a little bit further. So you'd have to go to wherever it is. He said, if it was up in Shemayim, if there was a Torah up in Shemayim, and it was all in the stars, all in the skies, what would you have to do? We'd have to be able to figure out a spaceship, figure out some type of a spaceship that would bring us up to the place in Shemayim where the Torah was. If it was on the moon, we'd have it already. Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong would have gone there. And anybody know the third guy? Nobody ever knows the third guy. Nobody knows that. I'm sorry?
Michael Collins.
Michael Collins, is that his name? Okay, and the third guy, right? They would have gone up there. They'd be like, oh, here it is. Grabbed the secret Torah, brought it down to us, and then it would have been there. But it's not. Thank God, it's not in Shemayim. We don't need that ability to be up there. Instead, says the Pasuk, Lo Bashamayim, instead it's Ki Karov Eilecha Adavar Ma'od. It's so close to you. It's right there. It's sitting in front of your face every single day, every single hour, every single minute. There's an ability for you to learn something and do something and gain something in this world. It's right there for you. Okay, I'm giving you a marshal. Guy goes up to another guy, and he says to him, you're looking for your wallet, right? You're looking for your wallet? Well, don't worry. It's not in China. It's not in India. It's not in Africa. It's in your pocket. That make any sense? What are we saying? Lo bashamayim hi, ki karov eilecha adavar ma'od. It's not in the skies. It's not all the way out there. It's not all the way there. It's right here. It's right, you have it. It's in your hands. What does that mean? It's in your mouth and in your heart. Why would you say that? Why would you go from so far away to so close? Why would you do something like that? It just doesn't sound so right. Because the Yetzer Hara is so powerful. The Yetzer Hara looks at you and he says, he wants you to think it's impossible. You can never do tshuva on anything you do. The Yetzer Hara makes you look at it and say to yourself, this is impossible, I can't do anything. But he's dead wrong. It's so close to you. You have such an ability to do it. All you have to do is try. Start off with the chaf. Move up to the chaf samach. Move yourself up little by little by little and build yourself up and feel bad about something that you've done. Eventually, other things come with, and eventually you will do that tshuva. That tshuva is there. It just has to start off. And it may take a while. The chaf may take you a couple years. The chaf samach may take you a couple decades. But eventually you can bring yourself up to the point where you have done tshuva. You have done what you're supposed to do, and then it feels good. But says, the Sfas Emes, you still have to work for it. If you don't work for it, then it's never Karov Eilecha. It has to be that you want to go to Shemayim to get it, and if you don't go to Shemayim, okay, at least you tried. And if you want to go, then it's Karov Eilecha Ma'od. You know what really bothered me this week? This past week, Rabbi Cohn told me that on Wednesday night, I believe it was, Rav Matzio Solomon was speaking here at Yeshurun. He was here in Chicago. And Rav Matzio Solomon, the Mashgiach of Lakewood, was speaking here. Now, it's very rare to hear a shmooze from Rav Matzio Solomon here in Chicago. In Lakewood, it's, you know, a dime a dozen. Fortunately, Rav Solomon speaks many, many times a day. But here, to get him to speak here, it's something you can't miss. To hear a Mashgiach of Lakewood, of a huge yeshiva that everyone looks up to, you know, throughout the world you hear people looking up to him, who is said to have had tremendous clarity of mind. For him to speak with you for 15, 20 minutes, to speak in front of you, okay, granted, not everybody can take advantage of that situation. But for those people that do take advantage of it, those people that say, like, I wish I could be there, I can't do it right now, I didn't hear about it until too late. So I announced it. You know, after night Seder, and I said that Rav Matzio Solomon is speaking at Yeshurun in 10 minutes. He's speaking in 10 minutes. Anybody that can go, you know, I would love for you to go. Nobody went. Nobody went. It's not like you need to go. That's not the point. It's a point of, it's a week before Rosh Hashanah. a week before Rosh Hashanah. You should at least want to go. At least say to yourself, listen, I can't, because there's this and that and the other. I didn't tell my wife about it. I didn't do this. I've got so many things to do tonight. I only found out about it 3 minutes ago. Granted, it's hard. But at least find, but at least want it. At least hear about it and say to yourself, I want to go so badly, I just know I can't. I just know I can't. Then, it's Karov Elech HaDavar Ma'od. But if you don't do that, you just say, it's not for me. Then forget it. Then it's Bashamayimi. Then there's no chance. There's no way you're going to be able to reach that high. That's supposed to be the idea behind it. If there's no yigiyah whatsoever, then you're missing everything. That's the idea behind Yagatiyu Matzasi Tamin Bo. That if a person says, I worked hard to get it, and then I found it, then Tamin Bo. It's not like, you can give so many different examples. You know what I love? You know those, I think it's Bain's Farm and Fleet. Is that what it's called? You know what I'm talking about? Blaine's Farm and Fleet. You know what I'm talking about? You know what they say? Like, I found it. I found it. Like, all those things, I found it. I never even heard of the place. You have to work really hard just to even know where this place is. I've never heard of this place before. There's Home Depot. There's Lowe's. I'm sure there's a couple, hardware stores just down the block. And then there's Blaine's Farm and Fleet. If you weren't that hard to find the place, sure, you're going to find it. I mean, it's got to be a place that, has the best deals ever, because it's got to be, a place like Sims. It's got to be in the middle of nowhere. Where else would it be? That would be the idea behind it. I was thinking of that when I heard that commercial the other day. I'm like, where are you guys? I've never even heard of you. I've never heard, but it's I found it. I can't even know where you are. That's the idea behind it. Haidosi b'chem ayom, as the Shemayim Netzaret, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael. Haidosi b'chem ayom, Pasuk Yud Tes, I am testifying against you today, or for you today, and on you, the sky and the land. Hachayim v'amavetz nasati l'ach. Says God, I gave you life, I gave you death. HaBrach v'ach, call good things and bad things. V'achar to v'chayim, you should choose good. That would be a good thing. L'antich yatov z'rach, so that you live. Rashi says, it's huge. I mean, most Rashi in Itzavim, it's not so big. We don't have that many Rashis. This Rashi is a huge Rashi. It's got a Medrash. The Medrash says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Bnei Yisrael. He says, look at the sky. Do you ever see the sky, all of a sudden decide, you know what? I'm not going to bring out the sun today. No sun. No sun today. The sun is not going to rise. Sky doesn't do it? Of course the sky does it. Sky does it every single day. It rises in the east, goes toward the south in the northern hemisphere, sets in the west every single day without fail. When you know it's supposed to be there, you look at the time and you're like, oh, it's supposed to be there right now. It's there. The sun is there. It might be covered by clouds, but it's always there. The Shemayim never messes us over. There's not a single time that the Shemayim has messed us over. And so do with the Aretz. Has the Aretz ever messed you up? Have you ever planted a seed? I do this all the time. Plant seeds of wheat in your backyard, and all of a sudden barley's growing, and she's like, not again! What are you doing? I planted wheat! You can't do that to me! Or plant, your zinnias, and all of a sudden roses are coming out, and you're just, I can't believe this. I'm going to kill you, ground. Never. Why? Because the ground and the earth are always doing exactly what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, look at the earth and the shrine. They never change. How could you do something different? How could you possibly do something different? I mean, what kind of a silly claim is that? Rashi spends eight lines trying to explain this medrash, going through this medrash, telling you, if the Eretz and the Shemayim don't change, why do you change? You should do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I mean, come on. It's the Eretz and the Shemayim. They have no Bechira. I have free will. If I have free will, of course I can make the decision not like that. But they don't have a choice. So what in the world is the Pasuk trying to say? What does it mean? I don't become Shemayim with the Eretz. This is your Raya that you can't change. This is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Says the Sfasanis. He says, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu did compare it to us, it must be we are compared. So what does that mean? He says, our natural tendency is to absolutely do what God tells us to do. It's our natural, that's what we have deep down inside. It's natural for a person to do it. So it's in your heart and in your mouth that you want to do what's right. That's there every single day. But what stops you? It stops you. I think we all know. The Yitzhara. A stupid Yitzhara tells you something and it says to you, don't do it. Don't do it. Shemayim and the Aretz don't have a Yitzhara. It's because they don't have a Yitzhara, they're able to be perfectly fine. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, just stop that Yitzhara. If you don't do what he says, then all of a sudden you're going to be like the Shemayim Aretz. Then it'll be so easy for you to do what he wants you to do. So easy. It'll be like the sky and the land. It's not even a choice anymore. You don't even have a choice. It's not even, it becomes our base nature. And that's what it means, kikarov elecha davar ma'od. Absolutely kikarov elecha davar ma'od. It becomes part of you. this is going on a different type of a tangent. Totally different. One time I went to a Brit and Beis Yitzchak. I don't want to say when it was a long time ago, but I had Devorah, Ezi, and Ruvi. I think I had already started the program, so I think I was in America already. I'm pretty sure it could have been 2005, 2006, but I was in Beis Yitzchak for a Bris. And I brought all three kids in with me. Now, typically speaking, normally, my kids are really good when they go into a shul, especially, you know, even at the end of davening, they're normally extremely quiet. They know what they're doing. You know, typically speaking, Ruvi was very young at the time. I think he was maybe a year old, about a year old, but they're quiet. They just, they always were quiet. So I figured, I could bring them into shul during the bris. What's the big deal? It's a bris, right? It's not like it's going to be deathly silent. You know, it's going to be huge. And then I realized after I brought all my kids in and my wife was on the other side, that the whole place filled up. Like, there were people throughout the aisles, there were people in the hallway, there was no way for me to get out. So if anything happened, that was in a lot of trouble. So like, okay, I'll survive, right? It'll be okay. The bris started up in front, and it was taking a long time. It was just taking a long time, like this and that and the other. They were preparing the baby and everything. My kids started getting restless. They started playing with one another, right? Fighting, this, that, like, you know, just pushing. Then they started giggling. Well, when you start the giggles, you know, that doesn't stop. That's not stopping. There's nothing you can do. What are you going to do? Like, stop laughing. You can't. There's nothing you can do. You just like, so I was like trying to hold them back, trying to whatever it was, but they were making noise. They were making noise. But, you know, there was a little bit of noise from other people, but for some reason, the show was like all silent. Everybody's waiting for the bris to start, and everybody's just sitting there. Even the baby wasn't crying. There was like no crying. The only noise that was happening in that show were my kids. So all these people were turning around and looking at me like, like that guy from Happy Gilmore, you know, the shaking the head guy who was everywhere at once, you know, just like shaking their heads at me, looking at me like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? How in the world could you possibly bring your kids to shul? And I'm looking at them, I'm like, it's a bris. Like, it's not like it's Musaf, it's not Kedusha. Like, it's fine. And then, right when they were naming the baby, at that moment, when they were doing the Kriyas Hashem, that's all of a sudden Ruvi started screaming. Not screaming as in crying, screaming as in laughing. Laughing and just like laughing out loud. Normally, that's like the cutest thing in the world. One year old baby like crying, laughing, and all the both the other kids like giggling at him. Six people turn around and say, shh, like it's a 1 year old kid. What do you want him to do? So I put my hand on top of his mouth so I would at least suppress the laughter a little bit. They called out the name, whatever it was, right? And then afterward, like, whatever. Everything finished, Aleinu. There was a guy in front of me who turned around, and he's like, what's wrong with you? How could you bring kids into the shul? I'm like, it's a bris. I don't understand. I'm like, it's a great place. You know, it's just a place. Like, there's a mitzvah going on. And he's like, it's not that big of a deal. And he was so angry that it got me, like, I started getting, like, all into it. Like, I'm like, what is wrong with you? So this guy over there was, like, trying to, like, this mediator. He's like, all right, you two, calm down. You two kids, calm down. That, like, got me all. I'm like, what in the world? That, like, stopped. I moved all out. I was so angry. By the way, there is an ending to this story. It's not a good one. So we're going to leave it at that. But there is an ending to this story. No, it's good for me. we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But there is an ending to that story. But regardless, Hakel. There's a mitzvah of Hakel on Parshas Vayelech. Hakel is when the king gets up and he starts reading the Sefer Torah. Starts reading Devarim all the way through, parts of Devarim. Okay, everyone is there. Ha'anoshim, va'anoshim, va'taf. Men, women, and kids. They're all there and they're all listening. Can you imagine how much noise these kids are making? How in the world are these kids listening in with the men and the women? Can you imagine what the briskers are thinking? The briskers are there with like their ears straight next to, you know, right next to the melech, trying to hear every word, to be Mekayim, every single letter, every single trup, and they have to hear for all of Devarim. And you're trying to keep a kid quiet for the hour that it takes to read through most of Devarim? Couldn't even take 2 hours if the guy was slow. 2 hours to be able to read through. And can you imagine if the guy got up there, Ela HaDevarim? You're just like, oh gosh, no. I got like 17 kids. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, what would Rabbi Teller do at this point? You know, like, what would you do? Like, how in the world are you supposed to take care of all your kids when all this stuff is supposed to be taken care of? And yet, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says the following, and Nashim came to learn, Nashim came to listen, and the babies, why did the babies come? Leitin Tzchar L'Neviyehen. To give reward to those who brought them. And in that, the Gemara says, you know what the Gemara says on that line? To give schar for those who bring them? The Gemara says, oh, praiseworthy art thou, Rabbi, I'm sorry, praiseworthy art thou, Avram Avinu. that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah came from your loins. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was one of your great-great-grandchildren. Oh, such a line, Avraham Avinu, you would be proud. What in the world does that have to do with Avraham Avinu? Where in the world does that connect back to Avraham Avinu? And aside from that, Mimon Nefshach, if there's a Toelos to bring them, so that's the reason why you bring them. But you're bringing them so that you get Tzchar? For what? You can't get reward for bringing them, but then why are you bringing them? If there's a good thing in bringing them, then the reason why you bring them is for that good thing. If there's, you're only bringing them to get a reward, you didn't really gain anything. You're still getting a reward by going there even without them because you're going to Hakel. So what does that mean exactly? Plus, it sounds like Mitzin Schar and those who bring them get Schar. Sounds like that's their only reward. Sounds like that's the only reward that they get, and there's nothing else. How could that possibly be? So there's two different ways of looking at this. You can look at this in, I don't know how to say it exactly. Sfas Emes says it in one way, that every mitzvah we do is not really our own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to do it. But like, there's a schar that comes with tircha. And that doesn't apply to little kids. Little kids don't get the schar tircha, but you get it. Can you imagine the tircha that the Av has to go through in bringing your kids to Hakel? Let's say he lives in Haifa, right? Let's say you live in Haifa and you have to bring all your kids down for Hakel. That's the mitzvah, right? The amount of diaper changes and bathroom stops and fighting and are we there yet? And bathroom stops and snacks and I don't know. I would drug up my kids. I have no idea what I would possibly do. And it's even bring down. Yeah, thank you. Even then, like, how do you do? According to the Gemara, some of them would carry the kids on their shoulders. Carrying the kids on their shoulders, like going up the base of Mikdash, carrying the kid on your shoulders? What if it's a big kid? If it's my son Nochi, I'm not going to be happy. It's just going to be, it's too much. What am I supposed to do? That's the reason why. The Kiddusha of Hakel affects the kids immensely. You're showing the kids that you would sacrifice everything. You left your house with no one in it. Wherever you live, you left it. I mean, there was no ADT back then. There was no way to, like, check it. You know, you left your house wide open for anyone to come in by bringing your wife and your kids over to Hakel. Even though you're showing them, be part of the cow when they grow up. Such a thing won't be unnoticed. Your schar will be, litain schar lemeviehen means your kids will notice and they'll want to be part of the cow. And they'll want to be there and they'll want to continue in this tradition of going up to Hakel. They'll always want to do it. Rav Shor says it so beautifully. Now, halacha is officially that somebody who's deaf doesn't go to Hakel. If you're deaf, even in one ear, you don't do Hakel. You're not supposed to go up there. But the Rambam says the line, Misha eino yachol lishmo, if you can't hear, you should still go and try to be mechaven libo to what's going on. Try to concentrate on what's going on. But I don't understand, you're putter. If you're deaf in one ear, meaning you're still able to hear with one ear, you're putter. So, you should still go, says the Rambam? Well, what does that mean? Lacha Mishnah says it depends. We're talking about a guy who hears well if he's close by. But if he's far away, he's not able to hear. And this guy's going to be so far away from the Melech, he won't be able to hear because there's no microphone. It's not like what they do now. There's no microphone. You're not going to be able to hear it very well. So, if that's true, so I don't even understand what the question is then. It's so good to just be there and be involved. So, why even ask, why bring the kids? Of course, you bring the kids for the Ashpa. That would be a good reason to bring them. So what's pshat? Here's the pshat. Rav Nachman Adler says it. It's a pshat from Rav Nachman Adler. You got to go like this. Men come in order to learn. Women come in order to hear. But if so, why bother bringing the kids? Get a babysitter. Why would you bring the kids? The men are going to be mafriya from their learning because there's kids there. The women are going to be mafriya from hearing it because there's kids there. So why bother bringing the kids? Says the Gemara, it's schar l'mviehen. This is how Rav Nachman Adler and how Rav Shor tries to explain it. You got to reread the question. The answer is, Hashpa is so chashuv, it's docha, it knocks out your own chiyuv of hearing Hakel correctly. So that your only schar ends up being bringing your kids to Hakel. That's how important it is for the kids to be there. To bring a kid into a bris, I can't tell you if that's so important. But to bring a kid into Hakel, it's so important. It's better to bring the kid into Hakel. Better to bring your kid inside there. And then not hear it yourself.
But if you disturb others?
Doesn't make a difference. And that's what a Kurdish Baruch was allowing. That everyone there should know. That the importance is that the kids are there. Not that you hear every word. There were no briskers at Hakel. There were no guys that were listening with the little megaphones trying to hear exactly what the guy was saying. There was nothing like that. Hakil was about gathering together, not about hearing the words and every single word that the king was saying, but doing everything together. Bring your own chumash, read it to yourself while that's happening. That's the schar that you're going to get, and that's the only schar that you get. How does that connect back to Avraham Avinu? There's a pasuk. Parak Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin. I've said this over, I first heard this from Rabbi Zevi Alter, who now is, he works for Migdal Torah. His father, Rabbi Alter, is the Rosh Shiva of Migdal Torah, and now he's the assistant Rav of Migdal Torah. He told me this before. It says, the Pasuk says, in Parshas Vayera, Hashem Amar, Hashem said to Avraham Avinu after the Malachim came to him and visited him, and he's about to destroy Sodom. Hashem Amar, Hamachas Anim Avram Asher Ani Yoseh? Should I hide from Avram what I'm about to do? Avram Al Yoyeh LeGoy Gadol Vatzum. Avram's going to be a huge nation. And if Kol Bokol Yehar, it's all the nations are going to be blessed through him. Ki Yadativ Laman Asher Yitzav As Banim As Beisu Akrav. I know how he gives commands to his children and his house after him. And they keep the ways of God. They do good things. Said Avram gets everything he says. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, oh, I'm going to tell you about Sodom. Here's what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, should I tell Avram Avinu about what I'm about to do to Sodom? I don't know. You know why? Because Avram Avinu did not deserve to be a Navi. Avram Avinu was not on the level of Nevuah to know what was going to happen in the future, to know that Sodom was going to be destroyed. Huge chiddush, Chassam Sofer, it's in the Pituchei Chosam, in Yoredeh, in his Shalos Teshuvos Yoredeh, it's the very beginning of Shalos Teshuvos Yoredeh. It says Avraham Avinu should not have been a Navi. He was not zocher to be a Navi. He wasn't good enough to be a Navi. That's what it says about Avraham Avinu. He shouldn't have been one. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, how can I tell Avraham? But how could I not? He's such a great person, and the only reason why he's not a Navi is he concentrates so hard on teaching people the Aleph Beis. He concentrates so hard at looking at people and saying to them, I want to help you a little bit. So he can never go up to the level that he could be at. He's never going to get to that level. Why not? Because he's always with the people that are down low. He's always with those people that are just that are down there. So Avraham Avinu was given a gift by God. You don't deserve to get this Nevuah, but I'm giving you the Nevuah anyway. Why? Because you realize that the ikker behind the world and the ikker behind the mitzvah of Hakil is this concept of it's not about you. It's about helping others and doing something for other people. And going and seeing what other people do. And helping them. And saying to them, I can help you a little bit. I can do something for you. Let's work together on this. Avraham Avinu understood it unbelievably well. And he spent his life not working on himself, but working on other people. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that words, why do you bring the kids? And the pshat is, because it's mafriya everybody. It's going to bother everybody. Why would you bring the kids? And the answer was, it doesn't matter that it bothers the kids, that it bothers all the other people. The ikkar is about the kids. The ikkar is for them. It's all about the kids. As soon as they heard that, they said, that's exactly what Avraham Avinu held. Ashrecha Avraham Avinu. Praiseworthy are you, Avraham Avinu. Should Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah miyotzei chalotzecha. That Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah comes from you. Because that's exactly the lesson Avraham Avinu wanted taught, and it's the exact lesson that wanted to be said over here. You don't deserve Nevuah, but because you worked so hard to get other people to help, you get your Nevuah. So that's our lesson right now, to help others. So what's our summary? Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya, how we started off, was tshuva with mesiris nefesh. Thus he becomes a Rebbe, and he's known as a Rebbe. The tshuva brings you back to the kisei hakavod. It can lead you up little by little. If you work, lo b'shamayim hi. It's karov eilecha. It becomes. But if you don't work, then it's going to be very hard for you to do it. It'll be up there in shamayim. And our lesson is from the Shemaim Ba'aretz. If you take away the Yetzer Hara, then you can be like them and always do the Ratzon of Hashem. And the final thing we said was the reason why we bring the babies to Hakel, the little kids to Hakel, is for the Hashpa on them. And that's our job, to help others be Mashpia. And you can do that in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't matter how good, how great, how really great you are. You can help every single person out there with something. There's always something you can help out with. And that's our lesson for today. All right, guys, have a good Shabbos.